Well, open your Bibles with me to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6.
And if you don't have a Bible, you can use one that's next to the hymn book in the pew. Or you can simply listen as I read the Scriptures to you. Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 1. Daniel chapter 6 and verse number 1. Let's stand together as we read verses 1 through 5. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, forasmuch as he was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Our VBS theme this year was under the Babylonian Big Top and covered some highlights from the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel is absolutely one of my favorite books in the Bible. I love how God's providence was displayed in Daniel's life, from the raising up and putting down of kingdoms to the placing of a teenage boy in a far-off land. It's amazing to see how God's providence was displayed. I love how young Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat or the king's wine. I love how those 3 Hebrew men wouldn't bow, they wouldn't bend, and they wouldn't burn. I love how towards the end of Daniel's life, when he was in his 80s, 84, 85 years old, when he faced down a wicked king and read the handwriting on the wall and said, "Your kingdom is, it's over." And that same night, the great kingdom of Babylon was conquered by the Medes and Persians. As a student of history and prophecy, I love how Daniel lays out world history for us, starting in Daniel's time and going all the way through to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and His kingdom on this earth. And I love the story of this conspiracy. Boy, if you like conspiracies, here's a real conspiracy. As these princes and presidents conspired against Daniel, which resulted in an overnight stay at the Lion Den Inn. Amen. And this morning I want you to consider some thoughts from this great portion of Scripture. Notice first Daniel's promotion. Daniel's promotion. Now chapter 6 begins with the fall of Babylon and it was conquered by the Medes and Persians. And the Medes and Persians were led by 2 men, Cyrus the Persian and Darius the Mede. Darius was his father-in-law, and he's the one who actually conquered Babylon and began to reorganize it and set it up in his son-in-law's place while he was all far off fighting other wars. And so Darius, when he took over Babylon, he immediately divided the kingdom into 120 states or provinces and set over them 120 princes, and over them he set 3 presidents. Now these 3, you have to understand, folks, no internet, no phone service. You've got to leave someone in charge, make sure they're taking care of things. And if you're going to leave him in charge, you got to put someone over him to make sure he doesn't rip off the king. And then over that guy, you got to have one more man that is in charge of those 3 men so that the king does not have any damage or any loss because he can't be there to supervise everything that's happening. So Darius, when he took over the kingdom, he set up 120 princes. He set up 3 presidents. And one of the men that he chose to be a president was Daniel. Isn't that amazing? 85 years old, something in the 80s, somewhere in there. He's been a slave, and then he's been elevated in Babylon. Now he's elevated in the kingdom of the Persians. And I mean, from a slave taken captive 70 years before, now he is going to be one of the 3 presidents over the entire kingdom that he once was a slave to. And in fact, he had such an excellent spirit that Darius was thinking about setting him first and foremost over the entire realm so that all the other princes and the other presidents had to report to Daniel, and Daniel only had to report to the king. That's a pretty good position to be in. Now, the Bible says that this Daniel, verse number 3, was preferred above the presidents and princes, and tells us why. Because an excellent spirit was in him. Daniel had an excellent spirit. When he was a young man, he was 10 times better than all the other young men taken from Judea because he had an excellent spirit. But you know, that was 70 years ago. But you know, when you come back and you find Daniel in his 80s, you know what you still find? An excellent spirit. You know, sometimes it's not that way. Sometimes we start out when we're young and innocent and our hearts and minds are clean and pure. Boy, we have an excellent spirit for God. But you come around 30, 40, 50, 60 years later and we're yelling at all the kids to stay off our yards and we ain't got no time for church. We ain't got no time for God. We know everything in the Bible and we lose that excellent spirit that we once had when we were young. But Daniel still had that excellent spirit. And because of that, he was promoted and put in this position of power. Hey, does anyone think that you have an excellent spirit? I started to go to Walmart yesterday and buy some t-shirts to illustrate this thought to us today, because I see these kids wearing t-shirts all the time and they always have some kind of snarky, antisocial slogan on them. I saw one that said, "Attempting to care, please wait." Well, that's a great way to go through life. I don't care. Is that really the kind of attitude that a Christian should have? I don't care. What was another one I saw? Sarcasm, just another service I offer. Well, a little bit of sarcasm can be funny, but that's the only language some people speak is snarky. Sarcasm. I call it the Bart Simpson effect. You know. Well, I gotta smart off to my parents, I gotta smart off to the teacher, I gotta smart off there, because I gotta be cool by being funny. You know, there was a time when being smart was cool. And now just being a smart aleck is cool. I think being smart is cool. And having an excellent spirit. Now we have kids today, they can't smile because it's not cool to smile. So they go through life looking miserable because they guess it's cool to be miserable. Make me smile. And what's cool about that, boys and girls? I mean, seriously. I mean, parents, wouldn't you like for your kids to have an excellent spirit? No one wants to be around the pouty-faced, miserable, complaining, bad attitude, smart mouth type person all the time. You want to be around someone who's got an excellent spirit and has a joy of the Lord in their heart and has a good outlook and a positive mindset and always has something good to say and has a willing heart and desire to do something. Not the person who always dragging along behind. You got to try to force him to do everything. Hey, Daniel had an excellent spirit. And because he had that excellent spirit, he was promoted by Nebuchadnezzar. And now 70 years later, he's promoted by Darius because in him was found something that was better than all the others had. And that was an excellent spirit. Well, verse 4 says he was faithful too. Neither was there found any error or fault in him. So not only did he have an excellent spirit, he had excellent character. And character is something we're sorely lacking in today. Character, integrity. Character is something that, I mean, is going to make you successful in life. Character is something that will get you out of bed in the morning, get you to work on time. Character is what will get you out to find a job. When you find the job, character will make you do your job. Y'all with me this morning? Character. We need to have character in the society. And where there's a sore lack of it. It's just a goof-off day and time we live in. Where's the character? And Daniel is someone who had an excellent spirit. Daniel is a person who had excellent character. They looked and searched through his life and couldn't find nothing because he was above reproach. Proverbs 20 says, "The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him." And Daniel was a faithful man who abounded in blessings. He had an excellent spirit. He had excellent character. And he kept rising to his character level. Just like Joseph kept rising to his character level. Hey, parents, the most important thing you can instill in your children is character. Do the job, do it right, do it on time. Do what's right. Have the character on the inside to withstand pressure. Make the right decisions. Do the right things. Be faithful to God. Have a commitment in your heart and a character that sees you through. Boy, well, I could spend all sermon on that, but I'm not going to. But it really is grievous to see such a, even among kids who grow up in church, to see such a lack of discipline and character and punctuality and faithfulness and toughness and courage and commitment to anything. Daniel had excellence and he had a faithfulness that God was able to bless and use to promote him. Remember, notice a second thought, and that's the prince's plot. The prince's plot. They sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. Now, understand, folks, that politicians rank just a little bit above mafia bosses, ambulance-chasing lawyers. I mean, politics has always been a dirty business. You know, you take politics, you break it down, politics. Poly means many, tick means blood-sucking insect. Many blood-sucking insects. It's always been that way. And these princes, these presidents, they like their position in the kingdom for one simple reason, is they could line their pockets with wealth and bribes and money under the table, and they could benefit their businesses and do things for themselves. And they didn't like the fact that Daniel, no doubt, was interfering with their profit. And so they sought occasion. First they said, let's see how he does things in the kingdom. Let's check on how he runs his business. And they could find no fault. He wasn't taking any bribes. He wasn't taking any backhanded deals. He wasn't cheating on the king's requirements. He was taking care of his business because he was faithful. And so they said, we can't find any fault in his business. So the only place we're going to find fault is with his God. Well, they hired private investigators. Can you imagine Daniel in his house, and there's some chariot out front with some guy slouched down with the dark sunglasses on, watching his house. They wiretapped his carrier pigeons. I mean, they got guys with glasses up against the door, listening to what he has to say. They're trying to find something against Daniel, and yet they could find nothing. I wonder how many of us would stand against such scrutiny. If someone hired a private investigator that followed you 7 days a week and that studied your life, and got a hold of your emails, and got a hold of your internet history, and went through your bills, and went through what you spend your money on, and they saw what was on your television, what was in your stereo, and what was on your tablet and on your phone, and they studied your life, would they come back with nothing, or would they come back with a long list of hidden things that you never thought would see the light? You know what they found in Daniel? Nothing. He was squeaky clean. And so they said, the only thing we can find against him is this guy. He prays 3 times every day. He loves the Bible. He loves his God. The only thing we can find against him is his love for God. Boy, I wish we had that kind of testimony. They were envious and they sought to bring him down. They wanted to destroy his work and destroy his name and his testimony. Let me just say in passing to us adults, and maybe even teenagers too, that if you do more, have more, or are more, there's going to be someone who's going to be envious of that. And I would say to us as Christians, hey, listen, be in the construction business, not the demolition business. Some Christians, they can't stand that other people are happy or successful. They've got to tear them down. Someone said about my family, that pastor's family needs to be brought down. That's what they said. Because they were envious of our happiness. Instead of finding happiness on their own, they thought they could find happiness by destroying our happiness. But you can't destroy our happiness. But you can find happiness for yourself. You can find happiness and contentment in your life. And, you know, blowing someone else's candle out doesn't make your shine any brighter. It just increases the darkness. And so they were determined to put Daniel's lamp out. And so they held their secret meetings. They hired their private investigators. They could find nothing to do except to find against his God. And so they decided to hatch a plot. And they got the king involved. And here's what they did. They went to Darius. Like most kings and men with great power, he's got a little bit of an ego. Hey, some of us that aren't kings, that don't have power, we got a little problem with ego. It's the elephant in the room. They went to Darius and said, Darius, you know, we want to celebrate your kingdom and we want to have a special month in your honor. And we want to say that for the next 30 days that no one can pray a prayer to anything in the heavens or the earth except you. You're the only one we can make a petition to for 30 days and we all agree on this. Well, they lied because there was one man they didn't ask about and that was Daniel. But they said all of us are in agreement on this. And Darius, with the big head, said, okay, sure. And as soon as he signed that decree, and it was made known, and Daniel knew what the king had signed, that if anyone prayed to any god for 30 days except for Darius, he would be thrown into the den of lions to be ripped asunder and eaten by those lions. And when Daniel, he read that decree, he read that, saw what the penalty would be. The Bible says that he went to his window. See, east. Opened his window to the east, towards Jerusalem. Got on his knees right there. Well, he must have had some kind of terrace or something where they could see. He opened the window, they could see him there. And he got down on his knees and he prayed to the God of heaven, morning, noon, and night. And they sat out there with their cameras. And they ran into Darius' office and said, King, didn't you sign a decree that no one can pray any prayers to any god except you for 30 days? And Darius said, that's right. And they said, look, we got pictures of Daniel praying to his God three times a day after reading your decree. Well, that leads to the third point, and that's the king's predicament. The king's predicament. Now, what happens when an unstoppable force meets an immovable object? That's the old philosophical question. Well, that's what happened in Daniel. Because you had a decree that could not be changed. And because the king himself couldn't change his decree once it was signed. And so Darius spent all night trying to, with his lawyers, trying to find a way out for Daniel. He could find no way out. And so finally they had Daniel taken and they took him down to the lion's den and had him thrown into the lion's den. Notice in verse 16. Then the king commanded, they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet, with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Now, anyone ever been to the zoo? Alright. Anyone ever been to the zoo when they fed the animals? Alright. They have certain times they feed the lions and tigers the same time every day. Feed the snakes and stuff at certain times. And if you're there at the right time, you can see them feeding the animals. Well, that's how it was in this den of lions. Every day they'd go and they'd roll this stone back. And these lions knew when they heard that stone rolling back, their mouths start salivating. Dinner time! What are we going to get today? A chicken? A thief? A prophet. And so their mouths are salivating. Here the stone is rolled back. Darius is there. He says, I'm sorry, Daniel. There's nothing I can do about this. I got hoodwinked. You're just going to have to go in the den of lions. But I believe that your God can deliver you out of this situation. And he had him thrown into, can you imagine this, picking up an 85-year-old man and throwing him in? By the way, you know why the lions didn't eat Daniel? Because he was all backbone and gristle. Many of us we have all that except the backbone. They threw him in and they sealed the stone. And then Darius spent all night worrying, wondering what had happened. Notice fourthly the Lord's protection, verse 19. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he would come to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Can you imagine that lamentable voice? Daniel! Daniel, are you alive? Now what had happened was, the Bible says the angel of the Lord was there in the den. Now in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord is often a reference to Jesus Christ. What happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were thrown in the fiery furnace? Who was in there already waiting for them? The Son of God. When Daniel was thrown in the lion's den, who was in there waiting for him? The angel of the Lord? Probably the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what he had? I thought I had some up here. Duct tape. Took those lions, duct taped their mouths. All they could do is stare at Daniel all night and sniff at him. They couldn't eat him. I don't know exactly what happened. They might have just laid down and formed a nice furry recliner. So Daniel could kick his feet up on the back of a lion and spend the night in rest. And now Darius said, "All right, Daniel, is your God able to deliver thee?" Now if I'd been Daniel, I'd have just sat there for a little while. "Daniel, are you okay?" Dumb king. Suckered. And he finally says, "It's okay, king, I'm alive." Now that's in the Hebrew, but that's what he said. And he said in verse 22, he said, "My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found to me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." And so because Daniel did the right thing, he had to go into an uncomfortable situation, but God delivered him just as he delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And boys and girls, listen, you might, by making the right decision, might bring some bad consequences into your life, but you always do the right thing and trust God to bring you through it. That's what Daniel teaches us over and over again. And then there was two breakfasts. Verse number 24. The king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Now, can you imagine those lions? The angel says, "Whoo!" Takes the duct tape off. You know they have duct tape in heaven, right? There's no sheetrock in heaven. I preached to the church last week in Roanoke. They were sheetrocking a whole bunch of new rooms. Dust everywhere. I said, "You know, there's no sheetrock in heaven because there's nothing in heaven that defiles. There's gold, pearl, no sheetrock. There is duct tape. How could it be perfect without duct tape?" And so unwrap the lion's mouths. Those lions have been fasting all night and all day. They're starving. And here comes 120 princes. 120 meals. And there's those lions just waiting, grabbing them, pulling them down, eating them. You see, preacher, you shouldn't laugh about that. Why not? These are the enemies of God. And they got what they deserved. They had thrown it. They were just desirous to have an innocent man killed. And they got what they deserved. And so they had the lions had their breakfast. And while they were enjoying their breakfast, Daniel and Darius were enjoying their breakfast. And I can just imagine Darius saying, "I didn't sleep all night, Daniel." And Daniel saying, "I slept all night like a baby because God was with me." And Darius then wrote a letter praising the God of Daniel in chapter 6, verse 25 through 27. And I think Darius got saved. I think Nebuchadnezzar got saved too, and Cyrus got saved. If not, you can look me up in heaven and prove it to me. But I think they all got saved. They all praised the God of heaven. And as we look at Daniel, we see providence and courage. Boys and girls, adults, we can trust in God's providence. But do we have the courage to do what is right? Daniel had an excellent spirit. He was faithful all the way through his life. And because of that, God was able to place, promote, and bless him.